You are tuned in to Cultivating Indigenous Voices from KXCI Tucson, hosted and produced by Tina Andrew. This is part two of our conversation with Dr. DeVore, Assistant Professor in the Department of Chemical and Environmental Engineering at the University of Arizona, and is the lead of the Nyehe Lab. She returns with two different students from the lab, Gwen Flores Yoeme and Melissa Hackis Dene.
Tina, thank you so much for having us back. I think the last conversation that we had with members of the lab group was a really important conversation highlighting and uplifting Indigenous voices here at the community of Tucson and at the U of A. But briefly, I'd like to reintroduce myself as a person from the high desert in community of Crown Point in eastern Navajo land in New Mexico. And my clans are Ashche and Ishle, Zetla Ki Ani Bashishin, Shiche Eashihen, Dandle, Ado, Tkatne Sahne Dashanella. And this is how I identify as an earth surface five finger person. The two students that I have for this session are Indigenous students on different trajectories of their pathways, and one of whom is my first Native PhD student. And we're making history here because she is the first Native female PhD student in our department being mentored by the very first and only Native faculty member at the College of Engineering at the U of A, which I can't think of any other scenario in the country that this is the case. We also have another student, a Pascoe Yaqui tribal member, who is doing really phenomenal work in the laboratory, co-mentoring, peer mentoring around bioabsorption and the removal of metals from contaminated areas. This is all possible in our communities, uplifting Indigenous voices through this practice of mentorship and relational accountability. And what does that actually mean? It means we decenter ourselves as individuals and think holistically of systems. Think of human and non-human relatives. And I ask this question of all students in my classrooms and those that want to work in our research community of why this work? Why engineering? Why STEM? And who do you want to impact? And there are multiple layers to that, including the science itself and advancing and creating new knowledge that could benefit communities and people, but also this snowball effect of reciprocity that we see in our Native communities, where when you're investing in students, they are always thinking of their families and communities and ways to give back. So I think of this as a very long-term investment into building healthy, thriving Native communities by mentoring these young women here who are doing just a phenomenal job. So I'll give them a moment to introduce themselves and also pose this question, considering the trajectory of their careers. What brought each of you into your respective fields, and how did your cultural or community background influence that path?
My name is Melissa Hackis. My mom is German. My dad was always like, you have to say Beishbichai, which means like metalhead in your clans. You don't say Bilagana, even though it's just fancy white person in Navajo. And I'm born for the Folded Arm Clan, and my paternal grandparents' clan was of the Bitterwater people. And if you happen to know, my family's from the Na'al Dithli, which is one of the sacred mesas within the Navajo Nation, in like 30 minutes from Boonville, Farmington area. But I actually grew up as a urban native off the reservation, but we always went back. My dad actually, he went to college back in the day. He like filled out a paper application, and he's like, oh yeah, Shawe, I just like hopped on a train and went to Chicago. And my best part of my childhood was going back and seeing my aunties and my uncles and having my kinalta, which is like my coming of age ceremony. And oh man, oh, it's been a rough year. My dad, he would always say, Shawet. We always need to think, like, the four elements. You need to think your water, your fire, your air, your vegetation. And I was like, is that a fancy way to say plants, Dad? He's like, oh. and he'd teach me his NAC Native American Church songs about the ones that he got from his parents. And we just always go out there, take care of the land, help my uncle, help my aunt out, make sure they had food, make sure they had water. And then in high school, my uncle Sandy, he was always the fireman for like our ceremonies. He got stomach cancer. I didn't have any grandparents, so all my uncles, all my dad's brothers were like all the people that passed on and prayed for me. And my grandpa, he also had stomach cancer, and stomach cancer isn't common within like communities. And the more research I did, like my dad's health issues, my family's health issues, I had no control. and I wanted to do something. And so, I went into engineering. I couldn't do medical stuff. I was hoping to help people before they ever got sick. And so my mom was like, do the hardest thing possible. And I ended up in engineering. I did my undergrad at Northern Arizona University. And there was no Native instructors. There was one female instructor. And I was like, dang, it'd be nice. But at NAU, I found out about ACES and, oh my goodness, American Indian Science and Engineering Society. Also, I think they're trying to rebrand, but that's a whole other thing. Advancing Indigenous Peoples in STEM. I think that's what they're trying to rebrand to.
Wow, this is news to me.
Hot tea.
Hot tea. Native tea. We love it.
And I saw, like, Native women, like Dr. DeVore, like, having their PhDs, having families, doing amazing stuff. And I was like, that's an option for me? Ashani, really? And so I was like, okay, I'm gonna do that. I'm going, like my mom said, do the hardest thing possible. Mm-hmm. And my dad was like, Shawet, just have fun. he taught himself calculus for fun. So
oh my goodness, yeah, for funsies.
Yeah, at the dormitory, he was like, let me just teach myself calculus. I love my dad. I got my master's in environmental science from U of A, and then I took a cycling class, a powwow cycling class.
That's right. We have to do that again.
And then my friend was like, hey, do you know Dr. DeVore? I think she's doing work. And I was like, oh my goodness. I was scared to cold email her. And then I saw her and I was like, oh, I was so sweaty. And then we talked.
This is amazing to get a PhD student from a cycling class. I love it. Organic interactions.
And I was like, wow, this is what I need. I need like research centered around indigeneity and with right framework, and I feel like I could finish my PhD if I had that. And I know how much that would have meant for like my dad or for me, or I've done a lot of community college work, and for those little Native students, they're like, Melissa, Miss Melissa, you should teach my class. And I'm like, I need a PhD. It's not that easy. And so I just keep going, keep trying. My dad passed this last semester, October 1st, and he's like, make sure you thank the elements, you know, your air, your earth, your water, while he could still speak. And I was like, okay, Shajay, I'll keep doing school, you know, I want to help those people. And he passed of COVID, and I know COVID's devastated communities down here with the Otham Nation, and it was really rough for Navajo Nation. And so, you know, we're just trying to help and have those indigenous people with like those high degrees and capacity to advocate. And that's what I want to do. Hopefully work at a tribal college. And I gab a lot, so I'm sorry.
You're good. This is really great story that we need to hear, that connects the important work that you're doing with your formidable experiences growing up. And what impact, and this is true for me too, that are cultural mentors, family members that may or may not have had the opportunities that we have in these spaces influence so much our pathways and help us to recenter what's really important. I'm hearing things like service. I'm hearing things like our communities being the core and the center to the decisions we make in our careers. So I want to give Gwen some time to introduce herself and tell us more about her journey and how culture and community influenced her path. So go ahead, Gwen.
Hello, my name is Gwendolyn Flores. I go by Gwen. I'm a Pascua Yaqui tribal member, junior material science engineering student, older sister, mother, and fiance. Shout out to my son and fiance. I would not be here without the two of you. And Melissa, I'm so sorry about your dad. I didn't know that. I come from a background of nurses, and my dad was a tribal council member. I developed a sense of obligation pretty early on to help people and make a difference. I started my college journey as a single mother, pursuing a chemistry major through online community college. When I started at the U of A, I had to teach myself how to learn in person and be around a generation younger than me. The adjustment is still a process, but only two semesters ago, I realized that I was taking difficult classes like OChem, Physics 241, and Calc for a salary that did not make sense to me. The logical choice at the time in my mind was to update my major to engineering rather than pursue a master's degree in chemistry. I like to think that engineering will allow me to help a broad scope of people as well as earn respect and opportunities that most individuals do not have. And I saw something recently that said a form of peaceful protest is also occupying spaces in which you do not belong. And I will be a Native American woman in this field representing my community, people, and my family.
Thank you so much for saying that last bit, because what we've discussed as a concept or as a practice in at least in my classroom and to some extent in our laboratory community is positionality. And that really allows us to recognize our privilege, especially the very rigid, Gwen, you made a good point, like respected discipline. And oftentimes the discipline gets more credibility than the voices of the actual community members that we're working with, collaborating with. And that's unfortunate. So for us to be able to identify what those privileges are, our biases, our assumptions, what ways that we are questioning systems as acceptable, as successful, as adequate, those metrics should be determined by communities. Oftentimes they are not and are included as an afterthought. So we're really thinking about changing practice, engineering as a praxis, applied principles. I'm also hearing a lot of personal experiences that you've shared, Gwen, resonating not just with myself, but members of the community that also have to grapple with family and community responsibility. What people don't realize for Native students specifically is like we are having to operate in educational systems and institutions that were actually used to assimilate and enact genocide against our people. So we have a very unique relationship with education, yet we're expected to rise to the metrics that non-Native people that didn't have this history, that don't have the ongoing trauma to grapple with, to have those successful metrics. But we can enable ourselves to think about what our metrics are, right, for ourselves based on values like respect, reciprocity, relationality, reverence, and many other R words that, what are there, like 7 now, 10 now, any of those. But for me, is really grounded in Diné fundamental philosophy and the family values that I carry forward. The other point I wanted to raise while I have you two here has to do with what I would consider also a very unique situation. I alluded to earlier in the introduction that this is not trivial to have an Indigenous female professor in engineering, first and only at the U of A, and Melissa, who's our first PhD student, who's Diné. And the whole purpose of the creation of U of A as a land-grant institution is to provide access to resource and educational opportunities for the members of the Tucson community, rural communities, and tribal communities. And I feel like I'm putting those values into practice as well, and really creating space for students like Gwen and students like Jariah, who was a previous guest, and Nieves. And why these conversations and spaces are so important is we can share one pathway of what's possible. Academic knowledge is not the end-all be-all of knowledge. Let's just say that and acknowledge that. But there are some critical tools in this discipline that we can use to leverage understanding what it would take to remediate challenges that we face in the environment. Those tools, though, I will challenge everybody out there listening, those tools have to be met within the practice of restoration. That is not something we do to the land. We don't show up with toolkits and apply to a space. Restoration is what happens in here, and I'm pointing to my heart, and up here, and I'm pointing to my head. This is something you do within yourselves, within your families, within your communities, with the land, relearning languages, relearning food ways, taking care of seeds, showing up in service to something greater than yourself. That is restoration. When you're doing that alongside this work, I think that's a very powerful combination. Hopefully, I'm helping to expose you to perspectives and experiences, and myself as a mentor, providing an example, practicing what I preach. With that in mind, the second question I want to pose to both of you is, what does mentorship look like through an Indigenous or Native lens? And how does it differ from more conventional academic models?
It's Melissa again. So funny story. I said I would never go back to engineering. And so I took a bunch of educational classes, like higher ed classes. And I learned a bunch of big girl words, like $5 words on Scrabble.
I like Scrabble. Yeah. We'll do that at next game night.
Just like definitely like relationality. So like our relationships with others. For me, I think when I was like, okay, what is mentorship, like indigenously versus conventional? And I was like thinking on this. I was thinking a lot about our elders and like the critical role like they play. Like in academia, like you see a lot of either really young people or really old white men. and just getting to like hang out with like those community members. Like my dad, man, he ran so many ceremonies, and he's like, Shawet, you gotta make it like this, and then don't forget to feel the corn husk this way. And even though his mom said he wasn't a great singer, he still knew all his songs. And thank you for bringing up, like, it's a weird place being in academics and being a Native person. My dad went to boarding school.
Right.
And had his mouth washed out with soap if he spoke Navajo. And, like, I mean, my dad was pretty old, but it wasn't that long ago. And so it's nice to be in these spaces and have people like Dr. DeVore. ACES has been a huge part of my mentorship, finding peer mentorship. And it's not just, like, finding that one person. I think for like Indigenous people, it's finding that community,
right,
of all ages. You need your elders, you need your young people, you need, you know, your sisters and brothers that are in the same group as you. They have a nice cohort of other Native grad students who I would not know anything I know without them. Oof, they made sure I advocate for like pay and like how to do my taxes.
Right.
What to look for in a mentor. I didn't know. I thought, right, I go do more school. It's just more classes. And there was one thing I was trying to look for when I was answering this question was, it's called funds of knowledge. It's like recognizing the value and historical accumulation of skills and knowledge rather than having a deficit mindset.
Right.
And like, you just don't see that in engineering. And so it's nice to like have Dr. DeVore and have it centered within like our mentoring mentee relationship, but also like this path of trying to find a PhD and grow my own new theories and understanding. And so at the end of the day, I think for like Indigenous students. It's about trying to give back and have that community. And that's like the big difference, is at the heart of it is we're just trying to help our people, help our community, help our lands, no matter what we're doing, whether it's engineering or nursing or art or podcasting. We're all just trying to, like, it's not a competitive race within our community.
Exactly.
It's like, you did it. You passed that class. You got a C. That's awesome. Oh, man. Sometimes I need that. Yeah. I hope that answered that question. You want to jump in, buddy?
Yeah. Let's hear
it. It's Gwen again. When I first met Dr. DeVore, I was in a program called EHS Rise through the U of A, which is Environmental Health Sciences Research for Indigenous Students, the summer of 2025. I had over 20 options or so of mentors to choose from, but I knew that I wanted someone that looked like me, and I needed someone that was a Native American woman in my field and willing to teach me. Dr. DeVore is more than I could ever hope for. Our first conversation, after I told her a little about myself, ended in her telling me that she was looking for me. And I haven't shared this with her yet, but I was also looking for you too. She said that she had been wanting a Yaqui student to join her group because my reservation is here and this is my home. She is someone that is mindful about the people she surrounds herself with and is actively creating a community of like-minded people. She's rooted in relationship, trust, and reciprocity, which is not something that you see much of or at all in the engineering community. And I'm thankful to her for sharing her knowledge and exposing me to opportunities like ACES, where I've gotten to travel and present posters and gaining training on engineering tools for bioremediation with fungi through NIHI Lab. So thank you, Dr. DeVore, for being you.
Thank you so much. Oh my gosh, it touches my heart. I want to also highlight and uplift really the beautiful growth that I've seen both in Melissa, in Gwen, in Jiraiya, in Yeves. And what I look for with students in the group is finding what their unique assets and strengths are, cultivating and nurturing that, and helping to propel them forward in life, because we're not just engineering systems, right? We're cultivating lives, we're cultivating spaces, we're cultivating communities as well. And I'm glad Gwen brought up some of the projects she has been working on, because she's done just a phenomenal job at articulating the work and distilling what I would consider very technically robust engineering and material science tools, like spectroscopy tools, microscopy tools. She's used scanning electron microscope, for example, to look at fungi and the way that fungi can help us remediate metal mixtures from mining waste. She's done that in the lab and is co-led by another undergraduate in the group. And I'm so proud to say this, that I've been very pleased to provide opportunities to undergraduates, which is not common in research spaces. Undergrads are kicking butt in NIHI Lab. The name of our group, our community, is NIHI, which translates roughly in the Diné language to ours, to our community. And it belongs to students and any member of the community that wants to come and learn. So for all of those folks out there, whatever trajectory you are on, if you're curious about the work we do, want to come and see, want to intern, want to learn more about how this could apply to our community, to the state of Arizona, or to other Indigenous communities across the United States. Unfortunately, a good amount of abandoned hard rock mines in the western United States are located within 10 kilometers or less, 3/4 of them within that proximity to federal and tribal lands. So that represents, as you can imagine, a very unfortunate and unique route of exposure for our people. What we're thinking about in the long term is to design, using these engineering tools, unit ops. So what does that mean? Unit operations basically are these standalone treatment mechanisms using either microbes or chemistry or both. And there's both an order and a time that you think about aligning these unit ops for whatever treatment goal that you have. When we examine the number of rural communities where our native people live, it doesn't make sense, right, to design these big fancy energy-intensive, water-intensive systems that might work for the city of Tucson, for example, or the city of Phoenix. Take that to a small, remote, harsh conditions, resource-limited in terms of like economic and other sorts of resources. So we design with that in mind. We think of co-creation with that in mind. And I'm really grateful that I have the support of other folks on campus, both within the engineering department, but within multiple disciplines too, as well as the Indigenous Resilience Center, led by Dr. Carletta Chief, and with the Native Fuse Alliance, which is a very large network across the country of academic institutions, tribal colleges, AHEC, which is the American Indian Higher Education Consortium, our student trainees, and non-academic partners as well. So, as we wrap up this conversation, I want to also include members of the lab community that are not here, that have been just advancing this work, being good relatives, because that's the goal, right? What kind of legacy, what kind of impact do you want to leave behind in the next seven generations to come? Most of our engineering scenarios and design consider, 100 years, right? But let's think beyond that. For our grandchildren's grandchildren and what they'll be left to grapple with. I'll give any last minute insight over to Gwen and to Melissa if they would like to add anything.
Shout out to Tahunatham Natural Resources Department. My partner works there. And they've been such a welcoming part of the community. Yeah, just a cat. We have a really great lab, and U of A's have been really kind to me, at least, and so has Tucson. And so thank you so much for having us. Mm-hmm. And my dad always said that to me. He'd be like, make sure you take care of yourselves. Drive safe, guys.
Yeah, thank you so much.
This is Gwen. Hi again. Shout out to my future husband, Nick, and my son, Alex. I'm so lucky to have both of you in my life. To my four younger siblings, our Nana Rosie that passed away 5 months ago now, we miss you. To my Tia, Nana Sophia, and my girlfriends, especially Kayla, Juliana, Joey, and Carla. To Nick's family for being my second family. Dr. DeVore, my lab mates, and everyone taking the time to listen.
Thank you for sharing. What we are uniquely equipped to carry forward is generational love, when what's often highlighted is the generational trauma, which can be both true at the same time. And that's where restoration comes into play, right? Of thinking about how are we going to be good with ourselves, starting in the homes, starting with the self, right? Being good with your own heart and your own mind, that extending to your child, your children, your partners, your families, and that becomes a critical mass of extension into communities and then hopefully the rest of the world. I want to say hello to all the members of the lab group. You are all with us here in spirit. You're all doing a phenomenal job. I'm so grateful for you, and always centering in gratitude, in abundance, because there's more than enough for each of us to thrive and to thrive together. For my own thriving to be inseparable from you all thriving is my truth. It really is. Shout out to folks back home on the Netka, all of my relatives, my aunties, my uncles, there's so many of you, cousins, countless, Layla Damp, my friends and family here in Tucson, Gabby, Layla Damp, Nanabot, Andrew, June, just folks that bring good light to my life. And of course, our host as guests here on Autumn and Yaqui Lands, I really appreciate the time and space to have this conversation and invite you to reach out to us, www.nihilab.com. See what we're working on. We welcome you to come to our space and also looking for service opportunities in the community. So if you need extra helping hands for something, we're looking for that as well. Thank you so much. And dans ohlia, like Melissa says, take care of yourselves.
You are tuned in to Cultivating Indigenous Voices, hosted and produced by Tina Andrew, featuring Nyehe Lab lead researcher Dr. Sherry DeVore and students Gwen Flores, Yoeme, and Melissa Hakis. Dine. To hear the full conversation, go to kxci.org.